session number 24192, Reel 4.
Mr. Taylor, Reel 4. We were talking about your time when you joined the battalion. You were with the mortar platoon of the sport company of the 1st Battalion, and they were at Neuhaus, but you were sent to Senelager with their rifle with platoon as well. What other training? Oh, we've rifle company.
We went there. We were in Senelager because we were then nominated to do the demonstration company for the whole of the BAOR, whole of the British Army on the Rhine. Down there we did the firepower demonstrations and all this sort of thing. That's what we were there for.
Tell me about the demonstrations. I mean, was this in front of bigwigs?
Yeah, I did it for all the bigwigs, yeah.
And what were you doing? Tell me what a typical demonstration was like.
Well, if the rifle company there, they were doing an advance of contact or something, some particular area, we would back them up with mortar fire as well. And they would be firing there, all their weapons, the Bren guns, the rifles, and the 2-inch mortars and this sort of thing. And we would back them up with a 3-inch mortar. Well, we also did demonstrations of teach the people what the 3-inch mortar platoon consisted of, with the radios, the mortars, the ammunition. You say I'm number one, I carry twice as much as a pack mule, this sort of thing, but. So everybody would know exactly what, before the exercise started, who was doing what and what was happening. And we also did a firing exercise on our own as well, so for the firepower demonstration of our own with the six mortars, which is a platoon
mortar. You'd only just learnt it.
And of course, I used to drive a carrier as well.
Well, when did you learn that?
Well, we learned it there, at the time.
At Senelager?
At Senelager.
Tell me how you learned to... this is a Bren carrier?
It's a Bren carrier.
Had it changed from the war?
No, exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Tell me, how did they teach you to drive it? Could you drive a car before or a van?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did they teach you to drive a Bren carrier?
Well, in fact, it's quite easy to drive a Bren carrier. I mean, it's got a steering wheel. It's got a hand change. So it was pretty straightforward. The only thing you have to worry about is your turning, your tracks, and this sort of thing where you are. But it's pretty straightforward.
What did they use the Bren carrier? Was that what you carried the mortar?
We carried the mortars. There was fittings on the back of the mortar, on the back of the carrier, where you put the base plate, the barrel, and the bipod. Everything went on the back, and you had your number one, two, and three at the front. And probably a platoon corporal or platoon sergeant in the front with a driver.
Would you take it in turns to drive that as well, or was that something you...
Oh, we used to do that anyway. It's a wild drive today. And that's the way it used to work. So.
Anything else at Senelager?
I think our main task was doing these demonstrations, what I can remember, and then from there... How long were we there? This is 46. Oh, I'll tell you what I did do from Senelager.
Because you were detached from the rest of the battalion.
Yeah, detached from the rest of the battalion.
What did you... I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
I came back to Sandringham while we were there at Senelager as a laying up the colours. Part of the party, colour party, came back. And I was one of the group.
Now, what was that about? Why were we laying up the colours?
They were the colours. We'd had new colours presented at the end of the war. And we were laying up the old colours because they were obsolete, if you might say. So they're in Sandringham Church.
What was the ceremony like? Do you remember what it was all about?
The king was... King came down. He inspected us. And I can't remember too much about the ceremony, actually. But I know that the king inspected this. Sir Mighty Shepherd, who died a couple of years ago, since I've been up here anyway. He was the Sergeant Major in charge of the colour party. I can't remember. I think it was probably about 30 in the party. I can remember. So that was quite good, actually. I was quite proud of that.
You'd been picked, I presume they'd picked some of the smartest.
Yeah. Well, I did a, I also did a thing, another thing down. We went from Thanelaga down back to Neuhaus to do, each company was sent to two people for the smartest people in the battalion. And I got on that one as well. That was quite good.
What was that thing when you went back to Neuhaus?
It was just something which they decided to do. I think everybody was they were all fairly young, young guys at the time, and they decided that they wanted to have a little competition. That's all it was, within the companies, bit of company competition. That's quite good. So we came out of that quite well, actually.
Now, who were the figures in the battalion you knew at the time, or were they, I mean, separated from as you were, you probably didn't know too many of them. But I mean, what about your platoon sergeant and
Sergeant Bland with us, the platoon sergeant.
What was he like?
He was a good character, actually. He was. He's one of these guys who'd probably come off parade. In his best kit, and you find him doing maintenance on a carrier or something in his best kit. You know, that's the sort of guy he was. He couldn't wear a uniform. He wasn't built to wear a uniform. He's actually one of those guys, you know, sort of 5 foot nothing and
broad,
a little bit broad, you know. But he was never the ideal candidate for a right marker or anything like that on parade. But this is the sort of things he used to do. He'd come back with his best kit on doing maintenance on the carrier or something.
What was he like as a sergeant? What made him good for, you know, he was your platoon sergeant or more?
He knew his stuff. He knew what, he's a good instructor, good sergeant, good platoon sergeant. Always for the battalion.
Do you remember his first name?
Can't remember his first name. And I can remember what they used to call him, but that won't go down good on the tape.
No, that's all right, go on. What did he call him?
He used to call him Ship Bland.
Why?
Because you're getting under the carrier with your best kit on and that sort of looking, walking around like a...
Did everybody have nicknames?
The other sergeant in the platoon was the Sergeant Seekings. Sarah. I think his nickname was. Sarah Seekings.
And what was Seekings like?
He was an old Indian guy. He spent a lot of time in India for the 2nd Battalion. Then came back to the 1st Battalion. And he was a moody kind of guy. I always felt it anyway.
How did it show itself?
He probably, you know, if he felt that way inclined, he'd probably give you a right hand, you know. He was one of those guys.
He'd hear you?
Oh, yeah. Not that he ever did, but I felt that he could. Felt that he could if he...
Did he hit anybody else?
Not that I can remember. Not at all.
But you felt it was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was he fair in the way
he was. Yeah, he was a good guy. Yeah, he was all right.
So it's just he had a bit of a temper.
He just had a bit of a temper, yeah.
Any other NCOs, corporals, or anybody, you know?
I remember when we, down at Senlager, just away up from the camp, we had a big square because it was a German tank barracks initially. And of course, you had the cobbled square, not the tarmac square, because the old tanks were ripped up. So everything was in cobbles, like in Germany, and they're all cobbled anyway. And just down from there was a museum of German armoured cars, German tanks. We used to go, understand, we used to go around and sort of play around in them. And we found one of these Bombenfest. It's like a rocket launcher. It had the end on it as well, ready to fire it. You put it on your shoulder and you had a... It had a trigger thing on the bottom, you just squeezed the trigger in, and all the blasts went out the back, and this thing went... The one we found, it was a bit rusty. So his name was Skelton, this guy. And he said, got out. So he got hold of it, and he was banging it on the edge of the tank. And it went... And kind of burnt his arm. I thought, oh, no, here we go. Just missed the building at the other end. Didn't explode. I thought it might do, but it didn't. So then he got his arm burnt and covered in smoke. And that was a funny part. I can remember that quite well.
Any other stories of, you know, what went on?
Not that I can call in there, in San Lager. I mean, we're working most of the time.
Did you have an officer down there with you? For the art, for your...
You know what, I can't remember what his name is. Can't remember what his name is.
At that time, you wouldn't have met, thought, seen much of the RSM and the colonel
no,
and that.
No, no.
So what happened no. next, then? You were there for quite a while.
Barclay was CEO.
Peter Barclay?
Yeah. He was CEO.
Can I ask about him now, or would it be better to wait later? Because he's quite a character we've interviewed.
Oh, he's riding around on his white horse.
What did the men think of him?
I thought he was a great guy.
He's got a hell of a reputation.
I think he was the first guy to get the MC in the Second World War, wasn't he?
What was he like as colonel? What made him so good? If you know,
I think his way with the men. Really, he always had a brilliant way with the men.
How did he treat them?
He just treated them very good. Always. He's always around somewhere. Not so much when the Senelager, because we were always out most of the day anyway. But when he was there, he was around, always around the, looking at the people and talking to people and that sort of thing. It's quite good. Very good, isn't it? He always seems... He's always a jovial sort of guy. He's easy to talk to.
Any other key officers or characters?
I don't recall them, to tell you the truth.
So what happened next for you from Senelager?
From Senelager we were posted to Detmold.
That your company or the whole?
No, the whole of the battalion. All of the battalion.
And when would that be?
That was in... what's that sort? Middle of 46.
47
rather. Yeah, middle of 47.
Right about June.
Yeah. I can't really understand why we went there for such a short time, actually.
And what was your accommodation like at Detmold? Where were you based?
We were all together in one camp.
That was the first time you'd been together with them.
The battalion, yeah. We were there for...
What was the camp like?
Well, I can remember, but it was pretty good. The accommodation was good. Most of the German accommodation was good anyway. The German camps were good.
And how did you feel being with the rest of the battalion? I mean, how did you settle in?
Well, it settled in pretty good. Very good. We had more job prides, of course, but it was good. It was good. We went on battalion exercise as opposed to just tours.
What would a typical day be like there? You know, training or day. You know,
In the barracks itself, be quite mundane. I think if I remember rightly. But. Probably again working on the carriers and doing the training with the mortars and that sort of thing, teaching other people, because you get sort of people going out, the wartime people who had left, and you bring other people in, so that sort of thing. And of course your normal duties like guard duties and this sort of thing, you still had your headquarter guards and the main gate guards to do most of that time. Of course you had to wear your best kit and
what were guard duties like? And did you have the stick men,
Yeah, we had a stick man, yeah.
Tell us about guard duties.
Yeah. You'd be warned for guard the day before, of course, so you know roughly what was happening. And get your kit together. Bulled, of course. March. The guard commander would march you onto the square. Form up. It's usually about the 24-hour guard used to be, I think, six men. Then you had the one of the warrant officers probably would did duty warrant officer of the day would come and check you over, and then the orderly officer would inspect you. After the inspection, he would then detail off the stick man for the day, who would then report to the adjutant and sit in the adjutant's office for any messages he had to run, while the others were standing and marching in front of the guardroom. And you did 2 hours on, 4 hours off throughout the day and night. It was a bit boring, really, that type of guard. It's quite boring. You probably saw somebody come in, so stand to attention, present arms and all this sort of thing. But it was quite boring. You weren't really guarding anything. You were just there for a ceremonial, really.
Any other routine duties, you know?
Well, you had your duties within the company. Orderly corporals and this sort of thing, orderly sergeants. And
what did the orderly... Well, were you a corporal by then?
Corporal then, yeah.
When did you get made a corporal then? Early on from the sergeant?
Yeah. I did it after we got to... we got to Detmold. Lance Corporal at Senelog. I got Lance Corporal at Senelog. Corporal and...
What difference did it make for you, being a corporal, a lance corporal first, then a corporal? I mean, how did you decide to treat it? Because it's one of those funny ranks. You're still with the men, but How did you? What was it like being a lance corporal or corporal with the lads?
I think that in the main, you had your awkward people. You always have your awkward people there, but I think in the main that they realise that. You got it on. You didn't get it because of who you are, or what you are, but what you could do with this sort of thing. So I think in the main that everybody appreciated it, and I always had no problems.
But were you still? I mean, were you still Barney, or were you Lance Corporal?
People called me Corporal. Yeah.
And what would you call them? Private Smith, or would you use the first name?
No.
Was it important to keep that difference?
I think you had to a certain extent. They don't these days, I don't think. But certainly was then, I think.
Why did you do that? I mean, I think I know, but I mean, can you tell us, why would you want to?
Well, I think you can get too familiar and then you get nothing done. I think there's a lot of problems. Familiarity is breeds contempt, they say. So, you had to... Well, if for instance we had to go out and do something, I mean they've got to respond to me, my orders. So if I'm calling them Tom, Dick, and Harry, and all the rest, probably they wouldn't.
Did you see it as a first step? I mean, you were a keen soldier. You've already said. Were you looking to rise through the ranks at the time?
Didn't appeal to me. Didn't think about it. I didn't think about it.
So you weren't bothered about becoming a company sergeant major on site. No. You just took it as it came.
Yeah.
Now, what we got onto this was from the orderly corporal. What were the orderly or corporal? Would you act up as an orderly sergeant? Because sometimes they act up, don't they?
The orderly corporal part of it was within the company. You would be responsible for Rue Valley. You'd go around and open and wake them up, dustbin lid and a pick handle or something like that. Make sure you'd done your revally. Normally the boogler would play it anyway. And you would then, I can remember, you would then make sure everybody was out for breakfast. Breakfast is the most important.
So you'd physically inspect the room.
Check the room to make sure everybody's out for breakfast. Most people had breakfast anyway. Then, after that, report to company sergeant major if anything is untoward or he'd had anything for you. You'd have RSM detail, where all the orderly corporals from each company, would report to the RSM at a certain time. He would then, if you were duty company, he would then give you all the duties he required, like the main guard, in-line picket, which is sort of a standby setup. Any duty that were required from the duty company, he would give you a list. And then you would go back to the company's sergeant major and say, this is what he wants. And he would then work it out from there. Anything the company's sergeant major wanted you to do, you did it around the company. And you were responsible for the, make sure it lights out and all this sort of thing at night time. You were generally sort of dog's body, really, throughout within the company during the day. But you're usually on it for a week. You do it for a week. So you had your own room. The only corporate room, so you had your own room for the week. So everybody knew where you were if anything came up.
And there was just one per company?
One per company, yeah.
Did you have a corporal's mess at the time?
Yep.
What was that?
No, we didn't. Sorry, we didn't. We were Naffy. In the Naffy.
You were with the lads then?
So everybody, if you went to Naffy, everybody's in there, so.
Anything else happened at demo? And you said you weren't there long.
We weren't there very long because we went from there to Berlin.
And when was that?
That was the end of 47, I think. It was
December?
I think it was October, actually. I think it was October.
So you were only at Detmold about 4 months?
Yeah, we were. That's what I can remember why. I can recall why we went there for such a short time.
And whereabouts in Berlin were you?
Wavell Barracks, Spandau.
Wavell Barracks?
Spandau.
Was it still called Spandau?
Yeah. And we travel all the way up by train from Detmold to Berlin.
So you'd have to go through the Russian zone, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it wasn't too bad going up there, because they knew you were coming, through, so the train just went straight through. You know, you went through Hanover, and Hanover was flattened at the time. All you saw was sort of chimney stacks sticking up because of the bombing at that time. And we arrived at Wavell Barracks, I think it was early morning when we got there, when we finally got to the barracks. We took over from, where did we take over from? The Fusiliers, I think. I think we took over from the Fusiliers. And we were allocated company blocks.
You were still support company?
Still support company.
What was the accommodation good again?
The accommodation good, yeah.
What was better? I should have asked before. What was better about German accommodation, barrack accommodation, and British?
The size of the room. You didn't have the big barrack rooms like you do in the UK. You had a big barrack rooms at home, but I think you had about four per room in the German barracks.
And this is for everyone, not just corporals?
This is for everybody. This is for everybody. Yeah.
You preferred that, did you?
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like being in the hospital ward, really. You know, if you're in a big, especially at Britannia Barracks, with about 25 of you in one room, you know, it gets a bit much.
Any other advantages?
The German combination. Well, they had a big attic. The whole barrack block was one big attic, so you could if it was in wet weather, you could go up there and do training. This sort of thing, where you couldn't in the UK. A lot of the way they were set out too was fairly easy to get round, and you know exactly where who is what. Other than that, there was normal. Other than that, it was a normal sort of training. Because then, you had a lot of national servicemen in the battalion at that time.
Tell me about that. I mean, how did you rate national servicemen? How did you get on with them? Could you tell them apart?
A lot of good guys. A lot of good guys.
I mean, were you very aware that, you know, Tom was a national serviceman?
Yeah, because some of them were whinging all the time, you know, but those in there, but the large majority of them knew they'd got to do it, and they just got on with it and enjoyed it, I think.
Were they as good as the regulars?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think not all of them, but majority of them were as good as the regulars. I always found anyway. And I had a platoon which is probably 75% regulars and 25% national service. They were good. Some good
so you couldn't tell by their the way they did their duties that they were national servicemen. It was just
no, you couldn't. They did exactly the same as the regular soldiers. Sometimes better. Definitely sometimes better. But the
what about the ones that moaned?
Well, they moaned, but they had to get on with it. They had to get on with the same as everybody else. They're the only.
They didn't. It was just a bit.
Well, they tried to skive, didn't they? Everybody tried to do a little bit here and there, but they knew. I think a lot of the other people who did realise that they were in for the 2 years and they're going to get on with it and get out again, said, "Come on, get on with it, and you know we're all in the same boat. Let's do it." And this is the way they used to carry on.
What about the Germans and Germany generally? How did you get on with the German civilians at all three places we mentioned so far?
We had some German, not so much at Sennelager, because what we were doing didn't entail that much civilian work. You had the odd cleaner, you had the cleaners, women cleaners, I think, if I remember right. And or Detmold, we weren't there very long after this, but Berlin, we had a lot of civilian workers, like mechanics and that sort of thing. And of course, the cookhouse had a fair contingent of men and women, cooks and bottle washers and servers and all that sort of thing.
And how did you get on with them?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. A lot of them didn't speak English because that was good. You had to speak German then. So you learned German by being with them. I think that is the way to do it, actually.
You made an effort to learn German?
Oh, yeah. You had to. If you wanted to tell them anything or they wanted to... sort of carry on a conversation.
Did you learn it by just copying them, or did you actually have someone teach you?
No, just mixing with them and talking about different things. You carry on a conversation. I could speak it quite well actually when I left. Germany.
Were they actually friendly? I mean, we're talking late 47. It's only 2 years.
I think when we got to Berlin, you were talking about Germans and Russians. Then, the Brits relieved them. The R end of it anyway.
So in comparison to the Soviets, the Russians, you were liberators almost.
Yeah. I used to hear some horrific tales from them about the Russians when they came in to Berlin. Horrific. Some of the things they did.
What about civilians outside? You know, when you're out in Berlin?
Yeah,
just the same.
No problems. Always had a good time with them. Yeah. There was never any backbiting or anything.
Not even with the young lads?
No. Well, the trouble was, of course, there weren't too many young lads there. The thing was that in that time, I mean, at 47, none of them had come back, had been repatriated from the prison camps. Anybody from sort of what? There was nobody between sort of 18 and 50 around, men-wise.